Drake May. With reasons to root for the Patriots. Mayo was asked this question too. He had a similar answer. In fact, he said, what you're seeing right now could be the beginning of the next dynasty, or will be the beginning of the next dynasty. I mean,
you buying?
No, not really. Although I'm not sure I would have looked at the 2000 Patriots, who were 5-11, and thought that that was going to have any of the elements of the next dynasty. Even though Brady was on that team, no one knew it at the time, and no one had any idea that it was going to become what it was, despite there being some good players on that team, as we said. I mean, Belichick, and there was a call on the line that we didn't get to in time. They hung up, but there was a call on the line, and it was a good subject line that Belichick inherited a better roster than Gerard Mayo did. I think that's 100% true.
Oh, it's not even close.
Much, much better. Much, much better.
Way better.
And
now, there were issues. There were, like, salary cap issues and different things, but 100%. He inherited team and or pro football Hall of Famers. Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that Mayo inherited one potential Hall of Famer, Christian Gonzalez.
Christian Gonzalez a Hall of Famer now?
I'm just potential.
Okay. I mean, I guess, yeah, the guys on this team, if you're gonna tag anybody like that, it would probably be him, I would say. Yeah,
or even team Hall of Famer. Let's just go team Hall of Famer. Christian Gonzalez is trending toward that, right? It's early, way too early, but he's trending toward being a team Hall of Famer. Belichick inherited Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Adam Vinatieri. I mean, it's a decade of team Hall of Famers if you do one.
Even guys
year.
Like Terry Glenn, who he got rid of. I mean, that was a good receiver. He was a productive receiver.
Drew Bledsoe. He at least had a quarterback. Like, he may not have loved him, and he may have been on the back nine, but he had a quarterback. Yeah, it's not even a comparison. Not even a close comparison. Holy
inherited
crap.
OTIS. Inherited Tabucky. Inherited. That's about it. I think you named everybody else. But yeah, there you go. There's a couple other names there I wanted to throw in. I just like saying OTIS whenever I get the opportunity to. That's always funny to me. That was always funny. Just something to look forward to. And the few times that you saw him in prime time, and he was the starter. So there you go. Are you worried about the Drake May injury? And also, are you rooting for the Patriots to go out and win this game? And I ask you that, Andy. I know that you would like to see May play well and the team lose. Do I have that right?
First of all, I want to see him look healthy. Put that away early in the game. Like, oh, my God, he is limping out there. There is something wrong. No, put that away.
By the way, a bunch of texters are pointing this out. There was one play where he did limp off the field after one of the sacks. That's true. He wasn't limping after that. You know, after that, it seemed like he was moving around okay, and that was early enough in the game that it didn't seem like it. I was watching that. I was watching to see if it would continue. But after that, I didn't see him limping at all, and no one really did. So, I don't know. I mean, it sounds to me like it happened later in the week. But it could have been in the game. I have no idea. No one knows, and we don't know because they're being weird about it.
It could be weird on any level. You know what it could be as simple as? Maybe the May family is weird about it. I brought this up yesterday, a little Gronkowski comparison, but there are still people that believe in privacy and believe like HIPAA is a thing. I know it's not really a thing in professional sports, but like, I don't want people to know about my son. Maybe this comes from his parents. They're like, no, like there's no rule that says everybody needs to know everything about your health and your mobility, whatever. Who knows? There could be a million things. But first of all, I want to see him look healthy, first drive, first snaps. Second of all, I want to see him sling it all over the field. I want to see him throw from play one. I want to be, again, you know what they ran last night in the Saints game? Now, it didn't end out well, but the first play to Spencer Rattler was a play-action boot, quick little throw to the tight end for, like, I don't know, 15, 20 yards. And I was like, that's what you do when you have a young mobile quarterback. Make him feel good. Throw it to a big tight end. Make an easy throw. I want them throwing the ball from the get-go. I want, in the first drive, I want more throws than runs. I don't care about the three and outs that everybody was worried about. Oh, I got to go three and out with 10 seconds off the clock. I don't care. It's the beginning of the game. It's two crappy teams.
And they're probably going three and out if they run the ball, too. So, you know, like, what do you want?
Like, just throw the ball, get him going. And, yeah, I want them to look good. I want him to challenge Dan Marino with three touchdowns in his first two NFL starts to tie that record. And I want them to lose so that they can get the first pick in next April's NFL draft and draft Kelvin Banks, the tackle out of Texas, because I just don't see what the – can you feel good about a loss? No, even better than last week. I know a lot of people felt good about the loss last week, but to me, If you go toe-to-toe with Trevor Lawrence and they both throw for 300 and four touchdowns or whatever, and you just lose on a late second, last second field goal, 45-42, the score I gave earlier, there's no shame in that. And I think most people will be icky balooky, like Dale Arnold, to just be excited to see what is building before their eyes with Drake May. So
you've said that a few times. What is icky? What is that?
I don't know. Ask Dale. Probably a main thing.
It sounds gross.
Dale here.
It does. It sounds, whatever it is, it sounds disgusting.
Dale's my guy.
That's true. I love Dale. I've never heard that. I don't remember him using that phrase.
Listen, you say mollywopped, so he can say icky balooky.
That icky is a super common term, mollywopped. I'm so surprised Andy doesn't know.
Whoa. There's no chance it's super common.
It's more common than icky balooky.
I don't know about it. It honestly sounds like something from a porno, but I honestly don't know that.
Come on, clean it up.
Is that not what it sounds like? Is that not what that sounds like?
I don't know what it sounds. I don't even
especially
know if it's
a real
especially
word. Especially when Dale says it.
He may have made it up for all I know. But
he
anyway.
May have. Yes, true. By the way, we got a very, very angry text message from the 603 saying, honestly, you guys were either too young or too drunk to know what was going on in 2000. I know you're doing a lot of covering for Gerard Mayo because he's likable, and you guys shot Belichick out of town, so that combination is going to make you look the other way and a lot of bad coaching, and that's one of the other reasons why I will lose it, not just the roster, but the coaching. And Belichick didn't have $50 million in cap in 2000, which you have right now. We're not talking about what he did in the offseason. We're talking about what he inherited.
Yeah.
The two rosters that were inherited. Bill Belichick is a much better coach probably than Gerard Mayo will ever be in 10 lifetimes. No one's
probably.
Saying that. We're talking about the teams, the rosters they inherited. And there's no debate that the 2000 roster had better players on it than this roster. I mean, that's just an obvious fact, Texter. I don't know how you could argue anything other than that. I mean, if you think we're covering for Mayo, fine. I think we've been ripping them pretty good this year so far. But either way, that has nothing to do with what we're talking. We're talking about rosters that they inherited in their first year in New England. And it is not even really that close. Mayo's is much worse. Much worse.
Sadly, that's a listener that clearly didn't hear the debut of the Patriots Pillars power rankings.
That's
when
true.
I put coaching at number 5.
You did.
I think the coaching is the worst part of this team moving forward. I have the least amount of confidence in the coaching. That's Gerard Mayo. But he or she are either too old or they were too drunk at the time to realize that Bill Belichick inherited a boatload of team Hall of Famers and some pro football Hall of Famers when he got to New England and went 5-11 and then turned things around and had that whole. That's the other thing. He didn't really go out and spend like crazy. If you remember, they were called the Kmart class of free agents,
right.
The blue light special class of free agents, because they were all Mike Vrabel, Mike Compton, all these kind of journeymen.
Diamonds in the rough kind of guys, right?
Yeah,
exactly. They weren't high-priced guys, for sure.
Right, and then it ended up working out, in large part, in my opinion, because all the studs were good. Teddy Bruschi and Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy and all those guys that he inherited
yep.
were really good. So I don't even know how we got into this whole debate. We took the bait. A texter sent a text, and we took the bait.
Yeah, well, I mean, we baited the texter. The texter baited us back, and now we're in a bait-off, which sounds like something that ends
yep,
with icky.
Don't
icky
do that.
Balooky.
Don't do that. Nope.
There you go.
We're not doing that.
You
all
are
right.
The master.
Thank you very
much.
Nope,
we're not
I
doing
say,
that.
I would say so. All right, let's get – I don't even want to do this because I had such a bad week last week, but let's get to some picks for week 7.
Okay, last week – Andy's record was 3-3-1.
Pretty good. Respectable.
I'll take it.
Respectable.
I'll take it.
500. You're maybe losing a little bit there on the rake with the odds or whatever, but that's
right.
better than being hard in the red, which is where I think I am.
Arcand was 2-4-1.
Not good. Well, that's only one pick worse than him. You made it sound like I had a really, really bad week.
Arcand's, you're a loser. Loser.
Arcand's big mistake was picking the New York Jets.
Yeah, never again. Never again. Even though they're favored on the road against Pittsburgh, and it's Russell Wilson's first game this week. If that's one of the games on the slate, you can already put me down for Pittsburgh. What do we got this week, Jake?
Okay, first up, Lions at Vikings. The Vikings are favored by 1.5.
Lions and Vikings, 1.5 points going to Minnesota. As much as I like Minnesota's defense, I feel like Detroit is really hot right now, and I'm sort of surprised to see them as underdogs, even going up against a team as good as Minnesota. I'm going to go with Detroit here. I really like what they're doing.
I am going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. I think there might be a little fall-off, let-down, whatever, from the Aiden Hutchinson injury here. I think that's a concern for them, and I know Dan Campbell's like, oh, next man up. No, not next man. Like, there's nobody
he's
that's going
to
do.
Tough to replace, yeah.
Yeah, irreplaceable. So give me the Vikings.
All right, next up, biggest spread of the week. The Bills are favored by 9.5 at home against the Titans.
This one, this is going to be Amari Cooper's first game. He practiced with them this week. He's going to be available to go. He's going to go out there. I like the over in this game, which is not the question, but I'm still going to go with Buffalo. I'm going to go with Buffalo by a couple of scores here. Tennessee has just been such a mess. I don't think this is the game where they turn it around, and I think Buffalo is going to get a big lead and just sort of compound it and keep things out of reach there, and I think Cooper has a good game in his debut with Buffalo. I think this is all going to work out pretty well for them, and I know that betting on Buffalo lately hasn't been a great move just with the spread, but I like him. I like him a lot here in this spot.
Yeah, I like Josh Allen. I like the Bills, and it's a big number that I have a little hesitance.
If it was double digits, I might go Tennessee, but it's not. So.
And then I go, Will Levis will do something to help my cause late in the game. So give me the Bills.
Okay, next up, the Cincinnati Bengals are at the Cleveland Browns, and they're favored by 6.
Bengals. I think the Bengals, this is where they start the turnaround. Adam Schefter wanted me to know the entire Bengals schedule. He read it for me.
Right, yeah, that was
word
fun.
For word the other day.
He either was looking at it or he was very up to speed on that stuff.
It was front and center in his mind or in his eyes or something. But and the Browns are a mess. The Browns stink. They're not going to bench, I guess, Deshaun Watson. They're stuck with him. So give me Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And, who plays on the Bengals? T. Higgins, future Patriots number one wide receiver. Pick him, take him.
Does play on the Bengals. That's true. And I know this is boring because these are picks we're going against each other in, but I love Cincinnati here, too. I'm not picking Cleveland. No way. Even though I know it's a division game and these games are always close, especially in that division, I feel like they'd beat the crap out of each other. So I may like the under or something, but yeah, I'm not going Cleveland here. I'm going with Cincy, and I'm going by at least one touchdown. Yeah.
Seahawks at Falcons. The Falcons are favored by 3 points.
All right, I'm going Seattle here. I don't believe in the Falcons. I think that the Falcons are a paper tiger, and whenever they go up against a real team, it seems like they have trouble. I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't know if Seattle wins this game because they've not looked great lately either, but I think that they can go in there and they can beat Atlanta and at the very least get within 3 points.
I don't believe in either of these birds, so I'm going to take the home bird to cover. I also think there's the Seahawks are kind of, what was the word, Evan Lazar? Teetering? I think they're teetering. I think DK Metcalf is teetering. I think there's some teetering going on in that Seahawks locker room. So give me the Falcons to cover.
Okay, and I'm just looking at the Falcons' schedule right now. They lost to the Chiefs and the Steelers. They did beat the Eagles in that Week 2 game, and they have a win over the Buccaneers, the only two real teams. Their other wins are against the Saints, the Panthers, and that's it. So I think the Seahawks stop them in their track. The game is in Atlanta, which should be advantageous for them, but I don't know. I have a good feeling about Seattle this week. Take that for how you want to. I went 2-4-1 last week.
The old good feeling line of thought.
The Eagles, in Saquon's return to MetLife Stadium, face off against the MetLife Stadium turf and the New York Giants. The Eagles are favored by 3.5.
Ooh, there's a hook on that now. I think that moved. I think it was 3 earlier. That hook scares me a little bit. And I really don't believe in the Eagles, but I do think that this is a game where Barkley's going to go out there, he's going to get booed, and he's going to get mad. And I think he's going to have a big game, and I don't think the Giants can keep up with him. So give me the Eagles here. I don't love that it's 3.5. I would have been a lot happier at 3 or even 2.5, which I think is what it opened at, which is kind of wild if you think about it, considering the relative talent on both of these teams. But, yeah, I still like Philly.
Yeah, Philly is the most frustrating team. They're frustrating to their coach, their fans, their owner, the whole damn thing. But Saquon Barkley, I need him to get back rolling a little bit here for my Offensive Player of the Year prop that I did. And I think he does it. I think you're right. I think the personal nature between him and what's his name? The GM. I think that plays a factor in here. I'm going to say Saquon gets 3 touchdowns in this game. Give me the Eagles.
Okay.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs visit the San Francisco 49ers, who are favored by 1.5.
This one's interesting. Super Bowl rematch. I think that the Niners are going to want to come out and play a big, strong, tough game, and I think that the Chiefs are going to just beat them like they always do at the last second. I think it'll be more than a point, and even so, they're the underdogs. So, yeah, give me Kansas City here.
I will take the 49ers, the fighting Brock Purdy's. I don't think the Chiefs are playing great football, and I know it's always dumb. You know, people said over here, you don't bet against Belichick and Brady, don't bet against Mahomes and Reed. I'm going to bet against Mahomes and Reed. I think they're not good enough to go undefeated. this year. They're not playing good enough football to go undefeated early in the year. They're scuffling a little bit. Their quarterback is just getting by. And I think in this game, he doesn't do enough to get by.
All right. First loss of the year for Kansas City.
Yep.
Andy is predicting it. All right, we got any more?
We got one more, and it's my favorite pick of the week. The New York Jets against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Jets are favored by 1.5. The question is, will Arcand pick the Jets?
No, I'm picking Russell Wilson. I'm picking Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's going to go out there. He's going to connect with George Pickens, and we're all going to forget about Rodgers and Adams. It's going to be the Russ and Pickens show in Seattle, or not in Seattle, in Pittsburgh. And there's no way I'm picking the Jets again. Every time I pick the Jets, they lose, or they don't cover the spread, or something, and I look stupid. I'm not doing it anymore. Screw you, gangrene. Give me Russell Wilson in his debut this season against with the Steelers against New York.
Tay, as they call him, Devontae Adams is the elixir that heals all for Aaron Rodgers. He feels good.
He's the ayahuasca of that team.
Yep, the ayahuasca, whatever you want to call it. He's the dark place. He's the good things, everything about it. He is the bump. They didn't get the coaching bump. They get the Devontae Adams bump. And Pittsburgh has a good coach. Pittsburgh has a good defense. I don't think their offense is all that good. And Najee Harris is coming off a big game. He doesn't have a lot of big games back-to-back unless suddenly he's finding himself in, like, year five or whatever the hell this is, year four for him. So give me the Jets to put it together. I think the Jets win this comfortably.
All right, and there's one last game. Let's do a pick here for the Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Last, I agree.
I saw on FanDuel it was at 5.5, Andy. What do you think?
I'm going to take the points. I think this is going to be a dogfight. I actually think the Patriots probably lose. I think this is going to go back and forth, a little competitive, probably in the 20s. I think I said on the podcast like 20-17 or 24-21, somewhere in there. But I think the Patriots can absolutely play with the Jags. Drake May is going to do what rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks do. He's going to make more plays than mistakes, but he will make mistakes, and that might end up being the difference in the end.
I'm going to take the Patriots to cover the 5.5, and I even may consider going full money line with them. Ooh. I think they win this game. The Jaguars' defense is so bad, and the Patriots' defense, I think, is not as bad as they've looked. I think this is a get-right game for the Patriots' defense, a turnover or two, and I think you could see something similar to what Chicago did. You know, you get a couple of short fields here for Drake May, and I think they could win something like 27-17 or 27-13, something along those lines. I think that's the direction I'm going to go with it. I think the Patriots score. I think Jacksonville continues to struggle, and I also think Doug Peterson might get fired by the end of the weekend. So there you go. Those are our Week 7 picks here in the NFL. If you missed any of that, we'll probably revisit some of them on Sunday morning with WEEI Football Sunday, which will be coming your way bright and early at the crack of 7 a.m. with myself, with Megan Ottolini and Chris Scheim in studio. We'll talk to Andy Hart. We'll talk with Fitzy. We will talk with Tommy Kern and get Wiggy's keys to the game. That's all something to look forward to if you're on your way to go watch the game somewhere. Are they doing like what they do with soccer games when there's like an early game and the bars all open at like 6 a.m.? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Those like, you know, Serie A games and stuff. Like, is there any bars around here going to be doing that for the Patriots? I wonder.
I bet you there are. I bet you. Why wouldn't you? I mean, it seems like an opportunity to make some money, right?
Certainly. Certainly would be.
Money.
All right. Well, without any further ado, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up with This Week in Social Media.